This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kurt Dowd is with us at the bottom of the hour. A variety of Minnesota political talk with him. We'll get to a number of items until we get to Mr. Dowd. My father will stop on by, tape that conversation with him at about 2:35. At some point yesterday, I think it was yesterday afternoon, the Vikings tweeted out a video in honor of Kyle Rudolph. For the second straight year, Kyle Rudolph, the very solid tight end for the Vikings, right? Well, how would you what would you use for Rudolph? He's been healthy for a long time now. He hasn't been spectacular. He's consistent. You count on him. He can make big plays. Well, it seems like when every offense coordinator comes in, it's like, oh, this can be a big year for Rudolph. And he is who he is. He's just
red zone menace.
Yeah, he's a solid, good player.
The second best tight end in Vikings history?
No.
No?
No, 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 no. Joe Sensor, Steve Jordan, both ahead.
I'm now, put Jordan ahead, but.
What's that?
Yeah, it's Steve Jordan first.
Yes, I'd say Steve Jordan first. I'd have to look back at Joe's. I mean, when Joe was good, Joe was a spectacular tight end, right? And Rudolph is more of a pass-catching tight end than he is a blocking tight end. But this was out yesterday because of all of his work in the community, right? And especially helping out kids and families when they're facing significant problems. And I reached out to my friend, Yadot. I reached out to PA just to get the name. And he gave me the name from the Vikings Entertainment Network, who put this together, Nate Vaughn.
Yeah.
Nate.
Incredible video.
Phenomenal work, Nate Vaughn from the Vikings Entertainment Network. If you haven't seen it, it's
about 7 minutes long.
Yep. And it's worth it. And it is worth it. And, I mean, I when I showed it to my son, Quentin, who has a myriad of health issues. And he wanted to write Kyle Rudolph a letter afterwards, and we're going to do that soon. It shows Kyle sitting at a table just like in a ball cap and a sweatshirt, and you are seeing him reading letters. And Adam and Dave, it looks like it's a letter, could be a list of 200 letters. But what Nate Vaughn and other members of the Vikings Entertainment Network have done is they've interspersed a variety of footage of either the sick child, the parents, the brothers, the sisters, Kyle's wife, talking about what Kyle has done, how he went well beyond just showing up on a Tuesday. You know, the Vikings have been doing this for years. It seemed like it even heightened even further during the Denny era. To Denny's credit, get out there, right? And some guys relish this. Some guys love it. And Kyle Rudolph must be a pretty tremendous human being. Because to hear from family members, Adam, including the family members who lost a child, and how Kyle reached out to him, or a time when somebody met him once and thought, okay, that's it. You know, it was nice. But no, that wasn't it. Because he stayed there. Whether it was he and his wife's name is Jordan, I believe, continued to help out. Because, listen, there was a point in my life, either when I was with my father or the first 20-some years when I came back here, when I was in a locker room a lot. And at times we've talked about here on the air, and there are times athletes can earn the reputations, the perceptions that many people have about them. But if you're just going to generalize everybody, then you're just foolish. It's the same thing in generalizing everybody. because many, many of these individuals are good people, and a very rare few are tremendous. And in this aspect of his life, he must be tremendous, right? To devote that time to generate that sort of reaction. And Adam, just the way that Nate Vaughn did this, to have Kyle sitting there reading the letters, tearing up.
Yeah, it's not contrived. You know, it's just.
No way. It's genuine.
Yep.
Because he knows these people. He knows some of these events have ended with death. Difficult, painful death when they lost, let alone the pain and agony you deal with before. So if you have not found it, it's everywhere. I thought about putting it up there on our Facebook page today, but I just felt like it was so ubiquitous. But just if you haven't, just go to Twitter or go to Facebook for the Vikings, and it's there, and it's well worth watching. So kudos to Kyle Rudolph, his family, most importantly, and Nate Vaughn and the Vikings Entertainment Network. It's 14 past 1. We have the news stations on here in the studio and ESPN. Normally, we'd have golf on at this point. Should we put on the shark? Do we still call it, Carter, the shark shootout? Should we have some sponsor?
You know more than I.
You know. Well, I know this. If we have it on, you'll instantly.
I'll be identifying golfers, that's for sure.
Dave, he'll go this. Hey, Greg Norman.
That's right.
Jack Nicklaus.
Billy Casper. One of the networks was showing the story about the multiple illegal immigrants who worked for the president at the Bedminster Hotel, right, in New Jersey. Dave is not as fascinated about the fact that the president, even though he'd said over and over again that he never, ever has had an illegal immigrant work for him, Dave is more fascinated with another part of the story. Would you like to share that with the audience right now?
Yeah, I don't expect him to know every single person that works for him, so I don't care about that. But yeah. I do expect him to not need his boxer shorts, sheets, and towels ironed, according to one of the people that was interviewed in the
yes.
story.
Yeah.
Are you serious, Don? Come on. I get you want the slacks iron. You want that nice crease. You get that, but
the same darks. Can you ever just mix in a brown suit? Obviously, these are beautiful, expensive suits. He's not going off the rack, but can he just, how about just like a sport coat?
Can't do brown. It would clash with the hair and the skin tone.
Sport coat and slacks and a non-red tie.
He's a Republican. He's got to wear red tie.
When is the last time we actually have a picture of him? When it's not the dark suit, white, crisp shirt. By the way, white, crisp shirts, overrated. Blue, multicolor, checked stripes. Give me that. The white, clean dress shirt, I'm not a fan. He's president. I'm a dopey host, so it's worked out well for him. But, Carter, do you remember seeing the Donald in a non-dark suit?
No, even like when he's on a, you know, visiting a hurricane or something, he's got the white crisp shirt, maybe under a jacket, like a presidential jacket.
Yeah.
The big USA hat.
Yes. It's a really big.
Yeah, it's like the one you pick up at a gas station.
45 on the side.
The eagle on the bill, you know?
Yeah. Have you ever in your life, Adam Carter, had your boxers ironed?
I can say with 100% certainty, no.
How about while you're wearing them?
No, that would be
very dangerous.
Yes, steamed maybe. But.
Yeah, that would be. You'd have to really be in the trust zone. How about your sheets? Your sheets ironed?
No.
And the towels?
Why
no,
the towel?
No, I don't know. What's the strangest item that you've ever ironed, Dave? Text me. Strangest item you've ever ironed, 818 or something. And how often do you iron?
I think I use an iron maybe twice a year.
Twice a year?
Maybe.
I'll do more than that. If a dress shirt, I'll iron out a dress shirt. Especially if you buy a new one, you kind of got to iron it. But
la-di-da.
Yeah, exactly. Seriously. When you buy them, that's when they're the crisp, most crisp best. If you wash them.
No, they're usually folded up, and they have 15,000 needles you have to pull out.
Yeah, the needle. What? Why aren't we better with the endless needle? Because how guilty do you then feel if you go try on a shirt, you take out the endless needles, and you go, eh, it's not going to work. And the look they give you, I'd be ticked off too. Mm-hmm. I got to find these pins and needles all over the floor.
I have ironed a pair of jeans that, but not because I wanted them nice and crisp, because they were probably at the bottom of the pile of clothes that was on my floor, so they're terribly wrinkly.
No, wear them for an hour, you're good to go. Just deal with the looks for an hour, you'll be fine.
Does anybody go with the dramatic crease in their jeans? That was kind of like a 1980s sort of situation. Your Calvin Klein, your Vidal Sassoon. Yes, I guess maybe two or three times in my life I've ironed jeans. If you nailed it, right? If for some reason they are just a wrinkled mess, I mean, if they're just horrendous, I'll iron a shirt multiple times a month, right? And it's not like it has, because I'm not a very zero. I mean, you're a man of high standards. So would you consider yourself a 10? As an ironing specialist?
Oh, no, not at all.
I'm not very good at it, because I just want to go fast. You know, just boom, boom, boom. And then if you don't take your time.
I've got it down, though. The dress shirt, obviously, is the most thing.
You've got it down to a science?
Got it down. Well, not to a science, but I got the routine of.
I mean, it sounded like.
Front, back, arms, sleeves, then shoulders.
Wait.
Are those the parts of a shirt?
Hold on a second. Let's go over that again. You do the front. You do the back.
Yep.
You do the.
Sleeves.
Sleeves and the shoulders.
And the shoulders.
Dave, is that more incredulous than when he told us he could recognize golfers?
I don't know. I think I'm partial to the recognizing of the golfers.
Isn't that how all of us iron,
Tiger
Adam?
Woods.
We got to do the front, we got to do the back, and we got to do the arms? Or does it have to be that sequence?
Maybe some people skip
the
shoulders.
That's what I'm saying. It's the sequence.
Oh, it is the sequence.
Front, back, sleeves, then shoulders.
Dave?
I mean, if he's got the system, far better. Like I said, I'm a twice a year iron guy. If I need it, maybe. So maybe I need to know the system, and then I'd be more encouraged to iron a little better.
Yeah, because the shoulders can be problematic, right?
Yeah, but that's why they got the narrow end of the ironing board. You slip it over there, like that's the. Then you just got
that kind of like the
plane it out.
Is that like the Tupperware that the contraption you stumbled into a couple weeks ago on Twitter?
Yeah, that was incredible. I still can't believe that Rubbermaid.
Want to explain to everybody what you...
Yeah, those Rubbermaid containers, the common with the red tops, hard plastic ones.
Right.
They snap into place. They can stack them. They snap. The bottom of the Rubbermaid container snaps into the lid of a...
So, in other words, he was at home.
I had no idea. I just stumbled onto it.
And the new stuff came in, so he was especially high. And he realized this.
I didn't know, as somebody who has a lot of those and has for a few years, I didn't know it was possible not to know that.
Yeah?
I found it by accident.
I got some blowback on Twitter saying everybody knows that, but a lot of people said, no, I had no idea, including Jennifer had no idea that they did that.
Well, she blew her mind then.
Yeah. Yes.
How about that? Hey, hon.
Did you call
just
her?
Just wait till you see
hun,
this.
Did you call her Buttercup at that point?
No.
Not Buttercup at that point. Handkerchief and dish towels. Growing up, my mother had an ironing lady, and everything was ironed. Also, there are pins, new shirts, no needles. Well, they've got those hooks now, right? The hooks are a little bit better in some of the new shirts now.
What's the difference between a pin and a needle?
Not much, right? To me, I think with a shirt, I think of the same thing. Are you one, because you go shopping once a week to add to your arsenal of clothes— Do you like to try on all your shirts? Are you good to go?
No, I'm good to go.
Dave, good to go or try them on?
No, give it a look. Maybe hold it up for a minute and fine.
I got to try it on. Or at least one of the sizes.
But I mean, I know the brand of shirt I like that fits well to me and the size of my shirt.
Giorgio Armani or?
Hugo Boss.
Hugo Boss, you know, or do you have one of those? You
Brooks
know,
Brothers.
You know, right to it.
Oh, I don't know. You're Mr. Fitness now that we've learned those. Isn't the body changing?
Yes.
No, no.
Whoa.
Not as fast as I'd like it.
Chad, I've received two irons as gifts. Do you think my friends are trying to tell me something? I've never done it once in my life. Yeah, that'd be kind of an odd gift. Oof. To get, unless it's like a wedding or maybe a divorce. Do people do divorce gift parties? I mean, two of us have been divorced.
They had divorce showers, I think, for women, mostly for women, but
they
heard
do
of divorce showers. Yes,
I've not heard that. David, you heard that?
I've heard of divorce parties. You know, you get together with all the friends and celebrate splitting up with the one you're walking
what,
away
what
from,
if
not
you,
a shower.
What if you did that and then you had a draft? Because a lot of times with couples, they feel like they have to go with one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you and either the ex-husband or ex-wife would, okay, Dave gets first pick.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Carter,
snake draft?
Wouldn't that
do
be
an auction?
Wouldn't that be great? Or, are you saying maybe it'd be better instead of the couple, which is broken up, making their picks, you invite like 50 friends and they're going, okay, in my case, Kathleen, then occasional chat, right? Carter, how crushing would that be if you let your friends pick off the divorced couple and you're never getting picked?
That'd be rough.
That'd be a tough one.
I think if you're doing the draft and you're the guy, first pick, you got to go for the gal's best friend, right? Just to get her thinking. Just to get the ex thinking.
Adam, I think that's a pro move right there.
I mean, you can trade later because she's going to pick your best friend. So if you need to trade, that's fine. But.
Well, what if she doesn't, right? It's almost a Vikings, Mike Tice, Kevin Williams situation that the timer goes off. She can't believe it. You can't take Susan, and then you take your best friend, and you're like, I've got your best friend. I've got my best friend. You know what I call this? Checkmate. more ironing and divorce party talk when we return. Was tweaking Adam about doing the dishes, and Adam then texts back, I do the dishes, one of my roles. And then he shared with us off air, Dave, you were in the room, his exact words were, I love doing the dishes.
What he said, and he's invited over to my house anytime.
Exactly. Can we set something up where maybe Dave and I, we won't do dishes at all during the week, and then you swing over to both of our places on Saturday and get it done?
I don't love them that much.
Oh.
Do you have a dishes system like you do with the ironing of the shirt
exactly.
front back?
Yeah,
I mean, do you go plates first, then bowls,
yep.
silverware, cups?
Silverware
is
last, yep.
Oh, silverware goes last.
Yeah, because they go on the bottom. And you put the plates in there. I usually leave the try to get the big stuff out of the way first, the pans.
Big stuff, yeah.
What if it's got something baked on?
Well, you let it soak a little bit.
Let it soak?
Tip, yeah.
Now.
Bet you didn't know that.
Hold on. I got to write these things down again. First, it was front, back, sleeves, and the shoulders for ironing. Now it's this nugget from Adam. If there's a lot of food left on said plate.
Gunk, I think you
or
call it.
Gunk. You soak it. What do you soak it with, Adam? Let me just jot this down. What do you use?
Dish soap.
Dish soap.
Warm water.
Okay.
Or hot water.
How about this? Do you ever, like, if it's a pan, do you ever put some of your dish soap, some water, put it back on the stove, warm the stove up?
I don't usually take it that far.
That's my little tip for you. Dave, what do you think about
that?
That's
a bold move.
That is a bold.
That's something I've never considered.
Well, here's where it could be bold if you forget about it.
Then
go to work.
Yeah.
Speaking from
experience. I guess
money's
no object. For gas is unlimited, I suppose.
Yeah, that's what I do. I leave for the
leave
8 hours.
Yeah.
You know, middle son was doing that for a while. No, not cleaning. He would stop by. This is when he was going
leave
to school.
The gas on and
he,
leave.
He would make pizza, and then I'd
leave
come
the
home,
oven.
And the oven would be on.
Oof. Mm. Well, it's better than the burners.
Yeah, that is, but it still is a fairly
I'm
problematic.
I'm going to play a joke on Dad. I'm going to turn the gas on.
And you know me. I'm walking in smoking heaters.
Put a candle there and say, hey, light it.
This texter says, I iron everything, every day. Boxers, undershirts, face towels, sheets, pillowcases, everything. Learn from my grandmothers. What taskmasters they must have been. That's too much. The face towels?
Oh. The pillowcases?
Man.
Wow. That's, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Carter? You have a system for this?
No.
Don't do
face
it.
Towels, I mean, they're this big. You fold them once and twice, boom, it's done.
Which way do you fold?
Corner to corner.
I mean, there's got to be a system. Face towels, overrated, underrated, properly rated.
Underrated.
I'd say overrated.
Okay. Do you ever confuse your face towels with the dish towels, right? I mean, what you use in the sink versus what you use up in the bathroom. Because that could be a problem. You do not want to get those confused, do you?
I mean, different sizes, different colors. For me, it's never been an issue.
Yeah. Texter says, welcome.
Really getting into this deep.
Welcome to 2019. There are such things called automatic dishwashers.
Wait, what?
What? Wait, where? Hey, not all of us live that lifestyle, okay? You know. What other nuggets, tips do you plan on sharing with us in the 2 o'clock hour?
You'll have to tune in to find out.
How about the laundry? Do you have, like I said?
No, I'm not a laundry guy.
Really?
Yes. I have to draw the line somewhere. That's why I do the dishes.
See, I don't mind. Dave, laundry? I'm not bothered at all by
laundry. No, fine on laundry. I've got a machine that does that for me, too.
Yeah. Well, you must have a folding system, right? I mean, well, stay tuned to the 2 o'clock hour. Dave's folding system. That'll be a tease.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
37 past one. Chad Hartman back here with you on WCCO. The House Minority Leader, Kurt Dowd, is kind enough to join us. Hello, sir. It's been a while. Are you talking to me from Aspen, Colorado?
Well, that is true. How are you, Chad?
Insiders told me. Tell me about this Aspen Institute.
Oh, actually, it's a leadership program that I'm involved in. They select, I don't know, about 20 leaders a year, and they put you through a 2-year leadership program. So I'm out here for my final meeting of that program.
What have you gleaned from this?
You know, it's kind of an interesting thing. It's a bipartisan group. So you get Democrats, Republicans, not all legislators. Some are, city council folks or mayors or other leaders in their communities. So, it's just a good opportunity. And we don't talk about current events. We talk about leadership style and how to be a better and more effective leader, those sorts of things.
Interesting. And all across the country. And how often do you end up meeting them?
We met 3 times over the course of 2 years. So,
okay.
Once a year. The first meeting was in Aspen, then we went to New Orleans, and then this meeting is back in Aspen.
Not bad locations.
Not horrible.
Yeah.
It's pretty beautiful here right now. So not horrible.
So if they would have...
I may or may not be skiing for a day on the end of this trip.
If they would have said it was Piscataway, New Jersey, would you have been as excited to be a part of this group?
The attendance would probably be down
yes.
if it was in New Jersey. Yeah.
I cannot fault you. All right. The budget surplus swells to $1.5 billion. So I'm assuming I'm going to hear words of praise about Governor Dayton and how he led the economy.
Well, I think you will if you ask him. But I would remind folks that if we had let Governor Dayton spend what he wanted to spend in each of his proposed budgets over the course of the last 8 years, we would be in a horrific deficit right now. It's because we've been prudent with the spending and we even spent a little more than I would have liked, but we reinvested in the last couple of years back into Minnesotans by letting them keep more of their tax dollars. And that, of course, helps the economy thrive and grow. And that's why we have the growing revenue. The state of Minnesota's revenue is very dependent on a good economy. It comes from income tax and it comes from sales tax. So if people, the key ingredient to the state of Minnesota doing well and being flush is we need Minnesotans to do well. And I think that's the most important lesson for anyone, for Governor-elect Walz or anyone in public office. If Minnesotans do well, the state will do well. And let's put in place public policy to help Minnesotans do well.
Is it fair to say, though, as Governor Dayton leaves, that the economy of the state of Minnesota is in significantly better shape than the economy he inherited? And if you agree with that, doesn't he deserve a fair amount of the credit?
Well, I think that is true. You could compare us to our neighboring state of Wisconsin, who was in worse shape than us prior to Governor Walker getting elected. And most recently, they've actually had better economic growth than we have. So I think we could have actually done better than we have. But I will give Governor Dayton some of the credit. I'm not going to be partisan and say that we deserve it all and he deserves any blame. That's not the way it works. He does deserve some of the credit. And I think he did some things, though, that slowed economic growth, increasing taxes by $3 billion in, I think it was 2013, when Democrats had complete control of state government. That slowed our economic growth, and you can see the data as it relates to that. I think we would have recovered quicker from the recession had they not done that.
What should happen with the surplus money?
Well, about $500 million of it is going to automatically go by state statute into our reserve fund. So we have, you know, we're flush in our reserve accounts now.
Are you comfortable with that number? Does that seem about right?
You know, it is state law. It's fine. I think it's not completely full yet. I think it could take about $250 million more. And there's a number that it's set at a certain percentage of our total unallocated or whatever general fund budget. So if we're not quite to that number yet. There's another $250 million that could go in. I think having around $2 billion in reserves is fiscally prudent. I think that's fine. That leaves us with about $1.5 billion of surplus projected for the next biennium. About $700 million of that carries over from this biennium. So that would be one-time spending. It's not completely new growth in revenue in the next biennium. So we have to be careful about what kind of spending we do and permanent ongoing spending when you've got one-time revenue is problematic. So we have to be prudent about that.
Governor-elect Walz ran consistently on the area of infrastructure and in particular believing the roads need to improve and a gas tax. The two of us talked about this a lot in various interviews over the last few years. Certainly the governor touted that for a while. You often would cite polls stating where there was a great deal of pushback against it. There have been some polls of late that were more favorable to it. If the governor continues, as he seems to expect to do, with a gas tax, do you think there is any area where Republicans in the House or the Senate would look at that and say, if it's with a combination of things that they also like, that they would sign off on a gas tax?
Well, a few years ago, the Department of Transportation put out an estimate that we needed about $7 billion over the next 10 years to meet our road and bridge infrastructure need, an increase in that amount of money.
Yep.
Republicans, just in the last 2 years, without raising any taxes, met more than half of that need. So we're more than halfway there. I think my advice to Governor-elect Walz would be, let's not jump to any conclusions that we have to do this or have to do that. Let's wait until the February forecast, see how that looks. If we have continued economic growth and continued growing revenue, let's talk about it then. I think it's a tough pill for the taxpayers to swallow when we have $1.5 billion or $2 billion surplus in the state. And what that means is we have that much more money coming in than we need to operate state government currently, right? Obviously, everybody's going to want to, not everybody, but they will want to increase spending for a lot of things. So there's going to be an appetite for that. But it's tough when you have a surplus of that size to go back to taxpayers and say, you've already given us too much money. Now we need to collect even more to pay for something that is such a core function of state government that it's literally defined in our Constitution as such. And there's only like three things defined there. So that's just a tough thing. And I think what we need to do, let's just wait. Let's see what the February forecast says. I think the good news for Minnesotans is everybody agrees that roads and bridges could use more money. And that's a great place to start.
So let me push back this way. And Kurt Dowd is with us, the House Minority Leader. I thought it was a very good race between two good people because I think Jeff Johnson at his heart is a good person, right? But there was a large difference on almost all these policy matters between Governor-elect Walz and Commissioner Johnson. And in the end, Governor-elect Walz won decisively. Kurt, didn't the state of Minnesota by a significant amount say, yeah, I don't love it because nobody loves, you know, paying more, but I'm willing to pay more on a gas tax to better the roads, and I showed that by putting Tim Walz in the governor's mansion by about 10 points.
Yeah, you know, Chad, I understand the question, but I think you're gleaning a little more into it than we should. I don't think anybody would say that Governor-elect Walz was elected because he supported a gas tax. You know, this election was about many other things. Many of those things, and probably the biggest of those things, was not even here in Minnesota. People were voting in the suburbs against Trump. People out in greater Minnesota were voting for Trump. The state, as the country, is very divided right now. And you know, some of these Minnesota issues, frankly, were on the back burner while people were, sending messages to Washington, D.C. with their ballot this year. I think what we need to talk about is let's roll up our sleeves together. We still have divided government. Let's talk about the problems that Minnesotans care about, and let's come together to talk about all the possible solutions and then pick the ones that work the best. One of the problems that we make in this state is people come to the table with their heels dug in and their minds made up that this is the way we're going to solve this problem, and they start with the solution instead of starting with the problem. And that's not a great way to reach compromise and actually get things accomplished.
Well, in listening to that last response, I go back to a number of conversations we've had over the years when you've grown frustrated at times about Governor Dayton, maybe a little bit of that approach, coming a little too late to the table. At times you've talked about him changing ideas after you negotiated for a long, long time and felt like you had a deal.
Sure.
So
sure.
Tell me about your interactions with Tim Walz so far. He certainly, at times during his period in Congress, was someone who was given a great deal of credit for working with both sides. I think he, like a lot of people in politics, certainly this last election, moved one way or the other, a Democrat moving more to the left, a Republican moving to the right. But do you think he's going to be more open-minded, as an example, compared to Governor Dayton?
Well, I sure hope so. My interactions with him, I reached out to him. I literally have not worked with him before. He was in D.C., has, you know, literally no experience in Minnesota government. I have been really only here, you know, for 8 years working on Minnesota government. So we literally, our paths have not really crossed. I've met him a couple of times and shaken hands, but I really don't know him. I reached out a couple of days after the election and certainly offered, as I did with Dayton after I was elected minority leader, offered to get together for breakfast or lunch. And I think he expressed that he wanted to do that. We have not been able to get that scheduled yet.
Are you a little disappointed that it hasn't happened yet?
You know, he is a really busy guy, so okay. I don't fault him for that. He's got to basically come up with a budget here within about 2 months and appoint all of his commissioners, hire all of his staff. He's got a big job, and yes, working across the aisle is important, but somebody who, you know, is the House Speaker now but going to be minority leader after the first of the year is probably on the back burner, and I don't, that's okay with me. I'm familiar with the issues. If he wants advice from me, he can certainly reach out, and I'll look forward to meeting with him and working on having a good, cordial working relationship and building that, you know, as we can over the course of the next few months.
Last couple points with Kurt Doubt, we'll let him go. It's 49 past one on WCCO. Chad Hartman here with you. No doubt you wanted your party to win. You wanted your party to win all the races in the state and across the country. It didn't work out that way. So now you move from Speaker to minority leader. Is that going to be difficult to take on that responsibility? It's still a large responsibility, but it's not running the show. Are you, do you have any apprehension about how that transition will be?
Well, not necessarily. I was minority leader during the 13 and 14 cycle, and then have now served two terms as speaker, and I'll go back to the minority leader job. It's a job that I have done before, so I know it. I'm probably exponentially smarter and more experienced than I was when I had it the first time. So I, you know, hopefully can be much more effective. And I was very effective as minority leader the last time, and I had a reputation of being able to block things that weren't good for Minnesota and being able to get things done that were. I think everybody kind of considered me to be a very effective minority leader. And I think the minority leader position is important because it sets the tone for how the two parties are going to work together. I can just, you know, throw sand in the gears all the time and slow things down and be a, you know, belligerent, or we can roll up our sleeves and help try to get things done. And that doesn't mean, you know, coordinate or, you know, cooperating or working well together doesn't mean I'm going to agree with them. But it means you talk to each other respectfully. And if you don't like an idea, you offer a different one. And those are the kinds of things that I intend to do. I will, however, hold them accountable. When they break a promise, when they vote to raise healthcare costs or vote to raise taxes, I'm going to remind them that this isn't what you told the voters when you ran in the last election. So be careful.
Last thing, I want to talk what's taking place in Wisconsin, working on in Michigan, and what happened a couple of years ago in North Carolina when, after Republicans lost the governor's race and a Democrat was taking over, that in lame duck sessions, that power was taken away from the governor's office and transferred back to the legislature. None of this happened while a Republican governor was in office, But it only happened after a Democrat was in office. And I'm not asking you to answer all the direct questions and the differences from each state. But isn't there something wrong about the voters' vote in November? They understand one system, and then after one party, in this case Republicans, lose, they're trying to change the balance of power before the opponent then takes over.
Yeah, and I haven't followed all of the details of what they're doing in those two states. I do know some of it, and some of it's just changing the date of an election or a primary election here or there. This isn't earth-shattering stuff. I don't know if they're, I guess I'm a little ignorant if they're actually stripping away power.
There are, in those three states, there are positions where they are definitely taking power from the governor's office and transferring back to the legislature.
The reality is, and this is the system we're in, they have a currently duly elected governor and legislature, and they have the power and ability to call special sessions and still act right until the last day they're in office. I think the question is, should they be doing it? Yeah. I don't know. And that'll be for the voters in their states to decide.
Isn't it fair to say, though, it's not ethical? I mean, if all of a sudden you could have done this for 8 years and you never do it, and then your party loses and you do it, doesn't that just – it doesn't pass the smell test?
Well, we have had divided government for years here in Minnesota, and I think we have a rich tradition of that. So we kind of know how to operate in that case. Democrats did have a 1-2 year period here recently where they had it. We have a Republican lieutenant governor right now in the state of Minnesota, and we also have a situation where our governor spent 5 weeks in the hospital at Mayo Clinic without really telling anybody.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Did you feel like that as the Speaker of the House, did you feel like you were included in what was going on?
I am told that state law says that the Speaker of the House must be notified if the governor goes under general anesthesia. I was not notified. I don't know how many times he went under general anesthesia. I don't know if the lieutenant governor was notified at all. And I don't know if she knew at all that he was at Mayo. I think she knew he was there for the couple of surgeries, which the general public did know. But they told us he was coming home 3 days after the second surgery, which he was in Mayo a month after that.
Right.
And not a word. And they were sending out press releases from with St. Paul on them saying that he was meeting with commissioners and staff throughout the day. I think that was misleading the public. And, I certainly hope that the governor's health is good, but, was the governor, I don't know. We don't know the situation. I'm certain that some of that probably had to do with the fact that we had a Republican lieutenant governor. But power is, when he goes under general anesthesia, power to the state is supposed to be turned over to the lieutenant governor, and I was supposed to be notified. I was never notified, so I'm going to just assume that power was not turned over to the lieutenant governor, and I assume it's for that reason that we have a Republican lieutenant governor. So why was our governor not following our Constitution and our laws?
Interesting. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. We'll talk
soon. Sounds good. Thanks, Chad.
Kurt Dowd. I believe Dave off air just gave me the finger.
I was really just telling you to hurry up. We got to go.
Yeah. A chance to win. We're back in the mix. Hugh Jackman tickets. Chance to win. Tickets to see a man who's got abs very similar to Dave Harrigan. That is a part of the enterprise next hour.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.